The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Luke. Tax collectors and sinners were all drawing near to listen to Jesus. But the Pharisees and scribes began to complain, saying, "This man welcomes sinners and eats with them." So to them he addressed this parable. "What man among you, having 100 sheep and losing one of them, would not leave the 99 in the desert and go after the lost one till he finds it? And when he does find it, he sets it on his shoulders with great joy. And upon his arrival home, he calls together his friends and neighbors and says to them, 'Rejoice with me, because I have found my sheep that was lost.' I tell you, in just the same way, there will be more joy in heaven over one repentant sinner than over 99 righteous people who have no need of repentance. Or what woman, having 10 coins and losing one, would not light a lamp and sweep the house, searching carefully until she finds it? And when she does find it, she calls together her friends and neighbors and says to them, 'Rejoice with me, I have found the coin that I lost.' In just the same way, I tell you, there will be rejoicing among the angels of God over one sinner who repents." Then he said, "A man had two sons, and the younger son said to his father, 'Father, give me the share of your estate that should come to me.' So the father divided the property among them. After a few days, the younger son collected all his belongings and set off to a distant country, where he squandered his inheritance on a life of dissipation. When he had freely spent everything, a severe famine struck that country, and he found himself in dire need. So he hired himself out to one of the local citizens, who sent him to his farm to feed the swine. And he longed to eat his fill of the pods on which the swine fed, but nobody gave him any. Coming to his senses, he thought, 'How many of my father's hired workers have more than enough to eat, but here am I, dying from hunger? I shall get up and go to my father, and I shall say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I no longer deserve to be called your son. Treat me as you would one of your hired workers.' So he got up and he went to his father. While he was still a long way off, his father caught sight of him and was filled with compassion. He ran to his son, embraced him, and kissed him. His son said to him, 'Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I no longer deserve to be even called your son.' But his father ordered his servants, "Quickly, bring the finest robe and put it on him. Put a ring on his finger and sandals on his feet. Take the fattened calf and slaughter it. Then let us celebrate with a feast. Because the son of mine was dead and has come to life again. He was lost and has been found." Then the celebration began. Now the older son, who had been out in the field, and on his way back, as he neared the house, he heard the sound of music and dancing. He called one of the servants and asked what this might mean. The servant said to him, "Your brother has returned, and your father has slaughtered the fattened calf, because he has him back safe and sound." He became angry. And when he refused to enter the house, his father came out and pleaded with him. He said to his father in reply, "Look, all these years I served you, and not once did I disobey your orders, yet you never gave me even a young goat to feast with my friends. But when your son returns, who swallowed up all his property with prostitutes, for him you slaughter the fattened calf." He said to him, "My son, you are here with me always. Everything I have is yours. But now we must celebrate and rejoice, because your brother was dead and has come to life again. He was lost and has been found." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Jesus Christ.
I love reading the Gospel of the Prodigal Son, or the parable of the Prodigal Son, I meant to say. It is so expressive and so meaningful, every single word. And scholars, scriptural scholars say that of all the stories and all the parables that Jesus ever told, this one is the paramount description of the nature of God, and the most severe critique of phony religion. Wonder what that means, phony religion. Well, the oldest son, the elder son, was definitely into phony religion, if you can call it that. He was very much a believer in reward and punishment. Reward and punishment. And Jesus had very much his own religion in mind when he spoke the parable of, or told the parable of the prodigal son. The legalism of the Pharisees, the importance of the laws and every little rule. Now, you have come across them, I have come across them. In every parish I have been in, people who are into phony religion. People maybe who come to Mass every Sunday, who keep all the rules, maybe come to Mass every weekday and have a kind of a, I deserve, I'm better than anybody else. And you don't have to be highly intelligent to see people, to realize when you meet one of them, they're into phony religion. I'm self-righteous. I do all the right things. I don't need God, so to speak. I'm doing fine. So, they do all the right things, but they don't love God. And that's possible. And it's a trap maybe into which most of us can fall. So I would say to you this morning, if there's anybody here who's not a sinner, you're in the wrong place. You are. The son, the younger son, is a beautiful example of somebody who does it wrong but gets it right. The elder son is a magnificent example of somebody who does it right but gets it wrong, totally wrong. Into reward and punishment, reward and punishment. Now just think about that for a moment. Think about that for a moment. Don't be honest. Look into your own hearts. Don't we like to see people punished? Be honest. You read on the papers, or you look on the television, and somebody has been guilty of some crime. And right away, do we ever say, well, look at them, maybe they didn't realize what they were doing, maybe they're now sorry. But don't we like to see people punished, huh? There was a lot, most people the other day, shouldn't maybe use personal examples, but that, I don't know what she was into, some kind of housewives or something, or that movie star, or whatever she was, she only got 14 days in prison, and she wants to be in a nice open prison and so on. And a lot of people said, oh, that's wrong. They should have nailed her, given her more, longer. Now, if you think along those lines, then you're a bit into phony religion, a bit into reward and punishment. And that is totally the opposite of what the parable this morning is about. It's not about that. Now, I want you to go back into the parable and just want to pick out two lines which spoke volumes to me this morning. And hopefully I emphasized them when I was reading it. While he was still a long way off, and go to the other line, while he was still a long way off, his father, what? Came running towards him. He didn't wait. He came running towards him. What a beautiful description of God, merciful and compassionate. The younger son is one of these lucky, lucky people. Why? Because he hit rock bottom. And if any of you here this morning, you've ever hit rock bottom, you are blessed. Just think about that for a while. Have you ever been right down? I can remember couple of times in my life, and I can honestly say, I hit rock bottom, one time in particular. And I can honestly say, hand on heart, it was the best thing that ever happened to me. The best thing that ever happened to me. And if you just sail through life, you never have any, you never really experience total, you're down there. I think you've missed out on a very important part of life. If ever, and I know some of you are, if ever you've gone to an AA meeting, Alcoholics Anonymous, people speak about hitting rock bottom. Tired of being sick. Sick of being sick. And it's wonderful to hear somebody like that sharing their story. And when they go on a bit, a year, 2 years, and they reach sobriety, it's wonderful to meet people like that. They're full of joy, like the gospel, like the young man in the gospel. They were dead and have come back to life. I was dead and came back to life. And in our lives, if we don't have many, what I call and refer to in my own life, many, many resurrections, we're never going to experience the real resurrection. That's so important. That's what the gospel is about this morning. I want to move on from there for one little moment and to bring gently into the gospel this morning something that I have become very aware of in my time here. And that is the number of people who come to Mass every Sunday, never miss Mass, but never receive Holy Communion. And they come up Sunday after Sunday, and they cross themselves, and they bow their head, and they ask for a blessing. I can't do it there and then at Mass. But I'd love to know, why do you not consider yourself worthy to receive Holy Communion? And there are people like that. It can be because you're in a bad relationship, or you have fallen out with your family, or you're in a second or third marriage. And why are you in a second or third marriage? Through no fault of your own, or you have been away from, I don't know, the church, or there's something you did in the past and you can't forgive yourself. You can't forgive yourself. That's the worst feeling you could have, because God forgives you. And I love anybody in that situation. Feel free, come and talk to one of the priests. Come and talk to me. Come and talk to Monsignor. Come and talk to Father Joe. You have a choice. And we'd love to hear. And I have, in my own parish when I was the pastor there, I was there for 20 years. So I knew people pretty well. So occasionally I would go and tap somebody on the shoulder and ask them, you come to Mass every Sunday, but you never receive Holy Communion. Here in our own parish, you won't know who it is, there was a man. There is a man, lovely man, who came here every year when I came in the summer. He was always at Mass. He knelt there, he said his prayers after Mass, but he never came to Communion. So one morning, I took the bull by the horns, so to speak, and I went down and tapped him on the shoulder. I knew his name. I said, tell me, why don't you ever come to Holy Communion? His answer was, well, for years and years I never came to church, and of course I never went to confession, and I feel that I can't really be forgiven. I said, oh, So there and then, give him absolution. He still comes to Mass every single morning, and he comes up to Holy Communion. And every time I see him, it brings joy to my heart. And all it needed was a little tap on the shoulder. And just, that's it. There was no reason except his own feeling of guilt. And that's the worst thing. God never wants us to be full of guilt. Poor old son this morning, feeding pigs, a Jew feeding pigs. He had hit rock bottom entirely. But thank God he came to his senses. I'm starving here. The pigs are better fed than I am. I'm a right fool. God loves fools. He loves fools, people who get it wrong. He came back, he said, Father, this is me. And what did God, what did his father do, who represented God? Give him a big hug. That's it.